the text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our epistle lesson for the day, especially these words from the 15th verse. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There they were, living in perfection. And I don't mean the kind of living that you and I are accustomed to, where some days are good, other days are bad, where some days you feel pretty well, and the next day you're curled up in bed, where one day your relationships are a pure source of joy, and the next day a source of strife. No, Adam and Eve were really living perfect health, perfect relationships, perfect everything, and best of all, a perfect God to share it all with on a daily basis. Yes, that's the kind of living that God intended for and gave to humanity back in Eden. Real life with the real God. But soon, as we read in today's Old Testament lesson, the Word of God would be exchanged for the lies or for the slander of a slithering snake. The gift would be exchanged for a curse. Life would be exchanged for death. The sin of Adam and of Eve that we read about today was but the first domino to fall. Cain and Abel fell shortly after. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all in quick succession. All of the kings, all of the judges, and all of the people under their reign toppled down as well. Yes, and the dominoes didn't stop falling at the end of the Old Testament. Oh, Peter and Paul, James and John, they all fell too. The grace of the faith throughout time fell. Augustine and Luther went down, and all the ones who were much less remembered fell as well. And truth be told, those falling dominoes, they're headed our way. Yes, as sin is passed down throughout the generations, it has not come without a cause. For not only has original sin passed throughout the generations, but every person that has ever been born has added to that original sin they are born with their own sins in actuality. And as sin is passed down throughout the generations, it is dealt out equally to every person its cruel wage, death. But you know, the legacy of sin is even far worse than the death that we usually think of when we use that word. For the legacy of sin is not just about physical death, but ultimately about working real death. Not the kind that takes your final breath away, but the kind that steals your spirit as well, removing it from the Father's presence forever. You see, we often talk in our world about things that can lead to death. Don't smoke. It'll kill you. Stay away from those French fries. They'll do you in. Don't let your child play with that toy. It will be their end. And of course, many of these things are good advice. But truth be told, smoking doesn't kill everyone. Neither do French fries, neither even those lead-painted toys from China. But sin, it kills us all. And in a much more real way than the death caused by any of these things. And yet, that be told, we don't seem to have that same gut response to sin that we have to these other things. Just look at our society. We spend millions and millions of dollars on anti-smoking campaigns. And we're often very bold to tell someone that we know or love you've really got to stop that. In many states, they've already changed out the oil in which French fries must be cooked. And there's more legislation being pushed to put nutritional information right on the package. And if you want to talk about hysteria, just listen to the media outbursts every time another tainted toy is found. And yet when it comes to sin, we don't seem nearly as alarmed. We often allow it to remain in our lives. We have those around us that are sinning that we never even stop to give a word of caution or rebuke to. We even allow at times those that are going around doing public sins very pridefully and persistently to remain right in our inner circles. Yes, sin is the most lethal thing there is to humanity. And yet we often treat it as if it's not a big deal. And yet it goes on killing both the body and the spirit. And somehow we remain comfortable with its presence. I suppose it's often because sin does not come dressed up in a way that we would think that it would be that harmful. In fact, it often comes dressed up in quite pleasing packages. No, sin does not show up with a skull and crossbones on it. Satan rarely shows up with his pitchfork and the horns sticking out of his head. Temptation does not wear a sign around its neck saying, "Caution, do not enter." No, instead, sin usually arrives with an "Open Me Now" sticker pasted on the front. Satan usually appears in the person that we are either respecting or perhaps someone we are attracted to. Temptation usually wears a t-shirt that says "One Way to Fun." And so often we naively fall for these tricks. And each time we do, our domino begins to wobble more and more, closer and closer to death. But yet with all the other dominoes around us shaking in the same way, sometimes we don't even notice the shaking. But that is what a season for Lent is like. A season like Lent is to give us the recognition of how close to death our sin brings us. And so today and throughout this Lenten season, we indeed must return to viewing sin as utterly sinful, as deadly in every way. We must no longer fall for the ways that Satan tries to lull us slowly into eternal death. We must realize that sin, every sin, leads to death. It is responsible for the death of our bodies, and it seeks to kill our spirits as well. But the only way we will ever come to that recognition in this Lenten season or any other day is if we open ourselves up to the examining Word of God. For it is only His Word that exposes sin and Satan and temptation for what they truly are, murderers. Yes, it is only through the Spirit's work in the world that we can understand how real sin leads to real death. But thankfully, as we open that Word, not only is sin exposed, but there is also revealed to us another domino, so to speak. A domino that fell that never should have had to have fallen. Jesus Himself. You see, Jesus was the only person who ever lived that had no sin. He was the only one that never fell for a trick of Satan. We saw today in our gospel lesson that Jesus took one trick after another of Satan's and crushed it with the Word of God. No, Jesus, based on His own actions, did not stand in this line of dominoes that was all destined to fall because of sin. But yet, for us, He did fall. He fell and He experienced real death. The kind that not only took His breath away, the kind that separated from him from his father, causing him to cry out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And because Jesus did this for us, our dominoes will not remain on the ground. While sin will still assure us of a final breath in this world, we, by God's grace, will not remain lying down and have to taste real death, separation from our Heavenly Father. Instead, like a videotape run in reverse, each one of us who has been blessed to receive the grace of God is blessed to watch as God sets our dominoes back up straight. Yes, he does it for us. Did it for Luther, for Peter, for the believing kings, the faithful remnant, Jacob, Abraham, even Adam and Eve, for all who have believed. He sets us back up in order that we might never have to taste the real death that he tasted in our place on the cross. Yes, although we will breathe our last, you and I will never taste real death, the kind that separates us from the love of the Father. For as Paul assures us later in the same letter, there's nothing now that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No, we will not taste death, because in this baptismal font we were connected to the death of Christ, in order that we might be raised to newness of life. Yes, instead of laying there on the ground, preparing to taste real death with the rest of humanity, God has now taken us by grace and placed us in a different line, in the line of saints that he has set apart to do good works in this world. And what a more blessed life is that. One that begins now and continues throughout all eternity. It is a life where we experience the abundant life of service towards God and towards our neighbor. It is the kind of life that brings God's kingdom to bear in this world even now. It is the kind of life that mirrors, although in an imperfect way, that life that we will one day have in heaven. So today, let us agree with God about our sin. And let that agreement not only be that our sin exists, but that it is deadly. Let us admit that no doubt our actions have earned for us real death. But then let us rejoice. Let us rejoice that we will never receive what we have earned. For Jesus has died our real death, that we might have his real life. As he told the people at Lazarus' tomb, even though we die, yet shall we live. Yes, that's ultimately what Lent is all about. It's ultimately what we are here to meditate upon this season. Our real death, experienced by Jesus, that we might experience his real life. And if that doesn't infuse joy into this reverent season, then we have missed the whole point of this season. Real death? Not for us. By God's grace. Amen.